In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Gospel, we're presented with this unjust steward. And this unjust steward is representative of all of mankind. For when we truly examine our conscience, we will see that we are unjust stewards. All that has been given to us has been placed in our hands by God, but it is not for us to do with as we please. And we have a truly false idea of what it means to give a gift to someone. But yet, if we were to point out practical examples, you can understand. If you were to buy a nice brand new car for your son before he goes away and give it to him, and he would say, "Oh, thank you, Dad." Now he takes it out and drives it, gets drunk, and smashes it in a tree, and he says, "Oh, I don't care. It's no big deal." And the father becomes angry with him. What is the son going to say? "Well, you gave it to me. It was mine. I can do whatever I want with it." You can't imagine a father being pleased with such a statement. He would say, "You didn't deserve it in the beginning." So the giver retains some kind of right over the use that we make of the gifts that we receive. He gives it to us with very specific intentions. The father gives a car to his son for what reason? Not so that he can smash it up, not so that he can ruin it and destroy it. It is given to him as a means of transportation, to be used for that purpose, to help him achieve his goals in life. And it is even more true with the gifts that God has given us. Everything that we have, everything that we are, has been given to us by God. And he expects us to use it for his purposes. And what is God's purpose? What is his goal? What is it that he wants of us? We have all learned it in the first pages of our catechism. Why did God make all of this wonderful earth? Why did he make me? And we memorized, God made me to know him, to love him and serve him in this world, so that I can be happy with him in heaven. And everything that he has given me is to pursue this goal. And with our false idea of freedom, of equality, we don't understand why God gives riches to one and poverty to another. Why is it that this man, every time he turns around, everything turns out well for him, and this one, every time he turns around, it's more sorrow, more misery, more suffering? Surely God isn't fair. It isn't just. That isn't right. What kind of God would do that? And we've missed the whole purpose. The steward in today's gospel was entrusted with his master's goods. And he was to use these goods, he was to dispense them according to the master's intentions. The rich man is given riches, not for his own self-gratification, not for his own honor and glory, but those riches have been placed in his hands to be distributed according to God's plans. And the proof is that God doesn't give him these riches for his own use because he can't take them with him. He must leave all the riches behind when he leaves this world. They're not his. They're not eternal. They're only temporary. And God has placed them in his hands. Why? so that he can assist the poor man who has less. It is the rich man's obligation, his duty, as the steward of God, to assist his fellow man for the love of God. And you say, well, God could have surely measure all this out evenly and give everyone an equal amount, an equal opportunity. But then we would miss a most wonderful opportunity. The poor man would miss the opportunity of being humble, of suffering patiently, of being meek. The rich man would miss the opportunity of being generous, of being compassionate, of practicing mercy. And when God gives to each one of us the different gifts or the lack thereof, He has in mind that we practice these different virtues. And this steward, this unjust steward that we read about in today's gospel, he is praised by the Master. Christ, this is not a real story, but it's a parable that Christ is giving us to teach us a lesson. And Christ tells us that the Master commends the unjust steward and that he had acted prudently. He was acting wise. He looked ahead and he saw what was going to happen to him. And he said, what am I going to do? I have to do something to prepare myself for what's going to happen to me. And this man is wiser in the ways of the world than Christians are in the ways of light, in the ways of God. Where is the Christian that will look ahead and say, look, I'm going to have to give an account of my stewardship. When I leave this world, I'm going to have to stand before Christ and give an account. Where are those Christians, those followers of Christ, who look so far ahead? And not only look that far ahead and anticipate it, but to prepare for it. How are we going to prepare for the moment when we're going to have to give an account of our entire lives? What can we possibly do that would repair the damage that we have caused, that would make a favorable judgment for us when we stand before Christ after our death? The unjust steward gives us an example. The gifts you have received from God, they're not yours. God has given them to you for a specific purpose. And if you distribute them to your fellow men by giving alms, by being charitable, you will gain merit before Christ. Not because you are squandering, not because you are cheating God of that which belongs to Him, because God has given them to you for you to share with your fellow man. And in giving that which we have received to our fellow man, sharing that which we have, our fellow man will pray for us. When you assist the poor, they will thank God in your behalf. And thus their prayers will appease the wrath of God for your injustices. And the penances that were often imposed upon people that are to wipe away their sins are not just prayers, not just fasting, but even alms deeds. giving that of the surplus which we have. And these alms are not lost. When we give of our abundance, we begin to receive. And it is almost inconceivable to our earthly or worldly perspective. But yet it is so true. The scriptures, the lives of the saints, all point out to us what St. Francis says in his peace prayer. It is in giving that we receive. There is more joy, more happiness, more consolation in giving to someone else than there is in receiving that same gift. And we can't realize this, we can't appreciate it until we put it into practice. When we actually take that which God has given us and hand it over to someone else. And you say, why would I do that? Why don't I just keep what God has given me? First of all, as I pointed out before, that's not why God gave it to you. Secondly, because by trying to keep the things that God has placed in your hands, you're going to become miserable. The things of this earth are not going to make you happy. And the more you hoard them up, the more miserable you're going to become. If you don't believe it, look at those who are filthy rich. Look at their lives. Are they happy? If they can buy a house, if they can buy servants, are they happy? Are they contented? They're the most miserable people. Look at Hollywood, California. All your movie stars, actors, are they happy? So happy that they take drugs to get away from themselves. They become addicted to alcohol and all kinds of terrible drugs, and they end up in rehab centers. Is that a role model for our children? Is that happiness? These people aren't happy. Well, they get to marry the most beautiful people. And are they happy with those that they choose to marry? No, they're miserable. Because not too much longer after they're married, they're looking to divorce. They're cheating on each other. They're not happy. They're miserable. And the more the gifts of this earth that they have in their possession, the more miserable they become. And what would alleviate this misery? If they would realize that that which they have is not their own. It has been placed in their hands by God for His honor and glory. If you have been given a talent, it is to praise God. It is Him to whom we owe gratitude, whom we owe thanks. But the most precious gift that God has given us is our immortal soul. And what have we done with this immortal soul that He has given us? We have abused it. We have mutilated it. We have drug it through all the filth and mire. We have destroyed it. This temple of the Holy Ghost that was meant to carry Christ throughout the world. We are members of the mystical body of Christ. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. God is supposed to be living and dwelling within us. Not for our own glorification, But we have a mission. We have an obligation. We are stewards. We are supposed to be taking Christ out to the rest of the world, sharing Him with our friends, our neighbors, our relatives. And all too often we think that we can lock Christ up, we can lock up our religious life and put it in a tabernacle where we can come and be with Him once a week. That's not why Christ has come to dwell within our souls. That's not why He has given us this gift. That is not why we have this immortal soul. Our sanctification is linked one to another. Converts are brought to Christ by the example, the gifts of those who carry Christ to them. And you say, but we're not religious, we're not priests, we're not nuns, we're not monks, we're not missionaries, we're just simple lay people. And I say that yes, you are missionaries. And as simple lay people, you still must carry Christ within your hearts. You must let Him live there. You must let Him dwell there. And you must not keep Him locked up. It is an illusion to think that we can separate church and state, that we can have our civil life and our religious life over here as two separate entities. Our religious life has to inundate our entire life. Everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we think should be motivated by the fact that we are acting as Christians. We are living our lives before Christ. We are stewards. And we've been given these treasures. They've been placed in our hands. And what are we doing with them? Our souls are like a river, a beautiful river. And if ever you've seen a beautiful river, the water passing by that's almost crystal clear in the sunlight with the flowers and the ornate fish, it's beautiful and clean. That's the way our souls are from the moment of our baptism. Beautiful, pure, clean. But as this river goes along, you'll find that there's a tributary that comes along. A tributary that is carrying nothing but filth and mud and waste. Completely putrid. And if we allow this tributary to contribute its share to the river, to this beautiful river, it becomes polluted. It becomes ugly. It becomes disgusting. And it is polluted all the way out to the ocean. And so it is with our immortal souls. They are made beautiful with baptism. And if we allow mortal sin, if we allow the evil of this world to inundate us, we're going to carry that filth with us. It's going to despoil all that we have, all that we are. And just as the river carries all this filth till it reaches the ocean, so will our immortal soul carry this filth until it reaches eternity. Whatever we have, we carry it with us. There's no escaping it. And we must begin to be prudent. We must learn a lesson from this unjust steward. The moment is going to come when we will have to give an account. The moment will come when the river reaches the ocean. The moment will come when our soul will stand before Christ, and He is our judge, and we're about to enter an eternal place where we'll never leave. That moment is coming. And we must begin to prepare for it now. We know it's coming. How are we going to live our lives? Look at our souls. See what is there. When we stand before Christ, we're going to say, like the unjust steward, What am I going to do? To dig, I'm unable. To beg, I'm ashamed. When we get to eternity, there's no time anymore for repentance. After you die, you can't go back and make a good confession. That time is past. You can't go back and make friends. You cannot go back and share the wealth that you have. It's already past. It's too late. The unjust steward is praised because of his prudence. He looks ahead and says, that time is coming. The Christian should become prudent and look ahead and say, the time is coming. I need to straighten out my soul now. I need to prevent that filth, that dirt from entering in. I have to build up these barriers to protect myself from the onslaught of the filth and the debris that the world is casting at me. I cannot let it enter my soul. And on the contrary, rather than receiving the things of this earth, I should be giving of the things of God. Christ should be living within my soul. And this river should be sending off virtue, should be sending off beautiful streams of water into other paths to enlighten other souls, to help purify them, to help cleanse them, to help bring them to God. Everything that we have, everything that we are, has been given to us by God. And He expects us to use it for His honor, for His glory, for the assistance of our fellow man. If you have two coats and your neighbor has none, what is it that you think God expects you to do? He expects you to take that coat that you have and give it to the extra coat away. And now you both have coats. It seems obvious, but yet we miss the point so often. We would rather pile up the coats in our closet, things that we're never going to wear, rather than to share them with someone else. I might want that later on. I might need that later. And if you ever do want or need that later, it's been in there so long, the moths have already eaten it up. It's dry rotted. It's gone. What good is it? The things of this earth were made to be used. They were made to be exchanged, given, shared, not to be piled up and locked up somewhere. And so it is with the graces that God has given us. They were not meant to be locked up. There's another parable, very similar in ideas. The master goes away and leaves different talents with his servants. And you recall the one servant took his one talent that he received and he buried it in the ground. And when the master returned, he dug it up. Here, master, here's the one talent you gave me. You recall what happened to that poor man? that poor servant? You fool. I didn't give you that talent to be buried in the ground. You should have invested it. You should have made it increase. And so it is with the things that God has given us. All our talents, all our gifts, all the graces, all the virtues were not meant to be locked up, buried in the ground. They're meant to be brought out into the light of day, to be shared. And we don't lose by sharing. We don't lose by giving away. We, in fact, become the beneficiaries. We receive grace. We receive joy. We receive consolation. When we give for the love of God in the name of God, we receive 100-fold. We receive eternal life. And we haven't yet understood this. We've not yet practiced it. Because we haven't yet really believed what Christ has said. We haven't believed that if we give, that we will actually be receiving. We haven't believed that if we share, we're going to get 100-fold. That whatever we give for Christ in the name of Christ, we get back 100-fold. Or if we believed it, it's been as a materialistic Protestant mentality that we're going to get $1,000 for every 100 or for every 10, whatever it is. We're going to be indemnified 100-fold in this world, and they're looking for material success, material prosperity. That's not what we should be looking for. It's okay, but don't let that be the main goal. It's okay to be rich. It's okay to have money. Just do not hoard it. Share it. And you will find that you get more. But share it for the love of God. Share it not with the intention of getting a material, monetary reward on your investment, but look upon it as an investment in eternity. And you will receive, even in this world, that peace, that joy, that satisfaction, 100-fold. You will find more joy in helping your fellow man than in having it locked up in a safe, in a dark corner, where eventually it's going to be rotten away or destroyed, or thieves are going to come and steal it. Let us go through this world as protected as we can be from the onslaughts of this world, but yet let us go as missionaries for Christ. Let us go as Christians, completely emptying ourselves out for the love of God, for the love of our fellow man. And then, when we must give an account of our stewardship, we will have nothing to fear. We won't have to worry about who's going to receive us, because Christ Himself will come and receive us. And He will say, "Welcome. You have lived as I have lived. You have done as I have done. You are no longer just a servant, but you are now an adopted son of God. You are my brother. You are my sister. Come into our home in heaven, this home that was prepared for you from all eternity." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.